بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا يا شاء ربي يوم الشيخ هذا بلا شعبين وقدم الله وقدم هذا الرئيس يا أصل ثالث على الفيشة الله وصل يا رسيل محمد وصل يا رسيل
نور سن ہے کونو مقامے کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں نور سنت ہے کونو مقامے کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں عبد و سلطان کھڑے ایک صف میں عبد و سلطان کھڑے ایک صف میں کیا اثر تھا رسالت کی شان میں نور سنت ہے کونو مقام میں کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں فرق کالے او گورے کا تو نے کس طرح سے مٹایا جہاں میں فرق کالے او گورے کا تو نے کس طرح سے مٹایا جہاں میں کس طرح سے مٹایا جہاں میں یہ تھا تیری غلامی کا صدقہ شان سلطانیت شکر بامے شان سلطانیت شکر بامے نور سنت ہے کونو مقامے کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیامے جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں جس نے کانٹے بچھائے تھے دیکھا گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں گل بدامہ تیرے بوستاں میں جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر کامراں ہے وہ دونوں جہاں میں کامراں ہے وہ دونوں جہاں میں ہو قمر جیسے انجم میں روشن آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں او قمر جیسے انجم روشن آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں آپ تھے محفل اختراں میں آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو آپ کی شان بے انتہا کو کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں کس طرح لائے اختر بیان میں عبد و سلطان کھڑے ایک صف میں کیا اثر تھا رسالت کی شان میں یہ تھا تیری غلامی کا صدقہ شان سلطانیت شکر بامے جو چلا تیرے نقش قدم پر کامراں ہے وہ دونوں جہاں میں نور سنت ہے کونو مقامے کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں کیا تجلی تھی تیرے بیان میں.
Allah Tabarak Ta'ala possesses, Allah Tabarak Ta'ala makes the jelly of his Zat. And the person who that the jelly is made, that person becomes like a mirror reflection. And the greatest reflection of the tajalli of the kamal, the beauty, the power of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He was the greatest mirror which man could understand. If you want to understand the mercy of Almighty Allah, and because Almighty Allah is beyond understanding, beyond comprehension, but you could easily understand it through the mercy that the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed. And that is why you will mention the books of words of Sirat, this example, that example, and then you will be amazed at what type of mercy. That when the person went to the extreme limit to cause him harm, and at the ending when that person is in front, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, don't you remember the day at the moment? After that, never mind, don't worry. Amongst the two major warriors in the army against Islam for many, many years was Hazrat Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. He was like unique. From the time of Uhud, when he made the whole collapse, and he was like that single man who the whole collapse of Uhud was attributed to. Otherwise they were winning the war. It was that one error, but he picked up the error. That there's a gap at the moment in a certain spot. He went for the gap. He took the opportunity. Suddenly there was chaos. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle now is found martyred. And how many others? And another major general of the wars against Islam was a Sahabi radiallahu anhu, who will become later on Sahabi, was Amr bin As radiallahu anhu, who later on will conquer Egypt, becoming known as the Fatih of Nisr. So these two, they only accept Islam on the brink of the conquest of Makkah. Brink, meaning just before Makkah Mukarramah is conquered. Just before. This is the time where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will tell, you know what, I don't need you. You rather wait there, I am coming as it is. On the brink of the conquest. Khalid radiallahu anhu says, what makes him accept Islam? He says, from the time of the battle of Uhud, something was troubling him. But then, the one time they had an opportunity to attack, he says, I found myself standing in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was the time of Zuhr Salah. So they started their Salah, and when everyone most likely went into Ruku or Sajda, he just thought that this is the ideal time to spring. Because where are they going to get their weapons? But because he had not announced his intention to his friends, he's thinking, something held him back. And he said, I just lost the opportunity. But I said to myself that very soon that salah is coming which they'll never miss, meaning the Asr salah. So we will prepare from beforehand. As soon as they say Allahu Akbar, we will start getting ready to spring. Because once they start their salah, they're not going to break the salah. When they fall in sajda, we can get halfway already before they can even stand up. And he says that when the Asr Salah started, suddenly I found Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing a different Salah. And this was what is called Salatul Khawf. Verses had come down at that time. And when you are performing your Salah in war, then the enemy wants you to leave your weapons. So one part of the army will stand. They will not join the Imam. They must just stand there ready. The Imam and the people will read behind him one rakat. After the one rakat, they will now go front. The Imam will remain. That group will come back. They will read one rakat to them. So as he's noticing this, because he was expecting one Allahu Akbar, suddenly it changed. He says that that intention of mine, I never even make it known to my companions. I just told them, be ready. When I give the order, spring into action. He says, from that time I knew this man is protected from above. how Allah Tabarakallah shows. So he says, from that time it was troubling, troubling. And just before the conquest of Makkah Mukarramah, now he decides to leave. And he doesn't want anyone to know also, so he gets his animal ready. And as he's carrying on, he meets Amr bin al-As. And he also doesn't want anyone to know. Amr bin al-As, he is in Habsha, Abyssinia, always going up and down. Now is the time of a truce between the Muslims and the people of Makkah Mukarramah. While he's in Abyssinia, the king of Abyssinia is telling him that you are such an intelligent man and you can't see the truth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I can't understand you. So he says, what you know about Muhammad, is telling the king. The king says that I believe in that man. That is the Nabi of Allah. And it'd be good if you go back and forget all your stories. So when he comes back, but now because these are the two generals of Makkah Mukarramah, the third one is Abu Sufyan. It's not easy for a general fighting so many years against Islam to suddenly walk in Makkah Mukarramah and say, you know what, our minds changed. So they're not telling anyone. The two land up, each one now is asking the other, what you doing here? No one wants to talk. Finally, they take qasam from each other. They respected qasams a lot. So he says, I think I'm going to go to Medina Munawara. Let's see what the man got to say. We are people of intelligence. If he's speaking the truth, the other person says, same thing in my heart. As they coming, a person who sees them, look at this. He comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he says to the people of Medina that Makkah has now spat out the best it got. This is the best. After these two, there's no more left in Makkah. They are the last. But now look at when they accept Islam. Remember, they were the generals against Islam for how many years? And they accept Islam on the brink of the conquest of Makkah. Now everything was ready. Now there was no need also for these two. Everything was done. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepts the Islam in such a manner that when Khalid radiallahu anhu comes, he says that I could not understand how can a man as intelligent as you remain blind from the truth of Islam. And I knew one day you must see it. But in that he praised him. A man like you. And when Amr bin al-As came, then he doesn't want to put his hand front. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, what is wrong? So he says, so many years. What will happen about those so many years? So I got some conditions to make. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask him, what conditions you want to talk about? So many years on kufr, you luckily got a chance in front of me. But look at this, he says, what condition you want? He says, all those years against you. He says, don't you know one move from Makkah to Medina wipes everything? One Islam wipes everything. One Hajj wipes everything. What you worried about? And then he wants to say something else. Nabi Sassam grabs his hands. They forget your conditions. Look at that love. Then you will understand what is rahmat. This was a mirror of the mercy of Almighty Allah. But never ended there. Thereafter he says, from that moment, it was most likely about 3 years after that when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loved. So they were like at the ending accepting Islam. He says, from the moment they accepted Islam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never made any major decision except that he first would call the two of them and ask, what's your opinion? That amount of honor to give to a man who you will say, you lucky you got a place in the tent. How much of honor? Then you will understand what is rahmat. So to understand the beauty of Almighty Allah, Allah Tabarakala made mirrors in this world. And a mirror, complete mirror that we will get will be the body of Rasulullah in every aspect. So the reason why I mentioned this here is one of the qualities of Almighty Allah is the quality of Shakur. Shakur means to appreciate. Because the Zaat of Almighty Allah is beyond us. So beyond that there is no way we can really do that which could please a creator like Almighty Allah. Because our condition is a condition of weakness, a condition of problems, a condition of haste. If we perform salah also, if that salah had to be given to a man in this world, he himself will say, please give me something else. That your wuzu was not even a wuzu. and your sajda was not a sajda. Your ruku was not a ruku. You thought of everything but salah. What you giving me as a gift? But Almighty Allah will never give. Another example, see dreams. Allah Tabarak Ta'ala has created dreams to give himmat to his creation. So sometimes, example, you will start changing your life. It's very hard, but you start. Because you start changing your life, suddenly someone has a dream about you. Or you have a dream. And you have a lovely dream. Maybe you see the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam smiling at you. Someone will come and say, I saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam speaking about you. How happy you get. Himmat. But the day you fall in sin, that Allah who showed your greatness in someone's dream will never disgrace you in someone's dream. You'll never hear a man coming and saying, Allah's messenger came in my dream and said, this man, this Maulana, I don't trust him. He at night is doing this action. Never will happen. What a quality of shakur that Allah Tabarakala accepts that little. And when he accepts it, how he appreciates it, like you did something big. Whereas in the Zaat of Allah, there is no word called big. Jibrail alayhi salam, Mikail alayhi salam, Israfil alayhi salam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke of Israfil alayhi salam, the angel with the trumpet. So he says, I saw Israfil alayhi salam. And from the time he was created, his job was the trumpet. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I have seen Israfil alayhi salam ready to blow the trumpet. In the manner that he's already sitting, one leg flat down, one leg up. The horn is in his mouth and his ear is ready. And when this was said 1400 years from when Israfil alayhi salam is in that position. In that position, Israfil alayhi salam 1 minute hasn't looked. You see, when the command is coming, I'm getting tired. 1 minute his chin never go down. 1 minute he never move it and said, let me have a breath. What obedience. In front of that Israfil alayhi salam, you think I'm reading my 2 rakat salah and I never scratch. I did some kamal. Think of that Israfil alayhi salam was not making a move from that time until the day he will be told blow. What obedience Almighty Allah has already. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked up and Allah tabarak ta'ala made him hear the voice from the top heavens. The heavens is not the sky that we see here, this blue. It will carry on, carry on. We're seeing a reflection of the first heaven. It will carry on beyond, 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 going into space beyond. Because it's called the heavens and the earth, between the earth and the heavens, whatever we see, the galaxy of stars, that has been mentioned as the ornaments between the earth and the sky. So sky comes after all of that, where science will never reach, traveling light years and light years and light years. At that place, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a voice is made. He hears like a creech. So he looks up and he says, Attatis sama. That today the sky is like, when you have that double story and you walk sometimes and it creaks. He says, it has made that noise. And why shouldn't it make? Because there is not a spot on the sky except that an angel's head is in sajda. Look at that sky. So where we come in the picture? Yet so much of shukr Allah Tabarak Ta'ala makes, and that little that man does, then you will see what a debt that man had. Hey, he died on Friday, he's Allah's special. How he became the special of Allah? Because to become special, you have to be someone special. But when Allah is so shakur, small acts make a man very big, small acts. So similarly, the mirror of Allah Tabarak Ta'ala is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is also just as shakur. Appreciating. So this appreciating, why I mentioned it, is to think of one point which our Hazrat Maulana Abdul Hamid Sahib Daman Barakatu many a time would mention when he would speak about Durood Sharif, that recite Durood Sharif. Then he would say, sometimes the thought will come that if Allah Tabarak Ta'ala is already sending Durood, and what is the Durood of Allah? Meaning showers and showers of salawat. Salawat means unique waterfalls of divine power. It's just falling. And every divine power that falls makes you more powerful, makes you more unique. But this is waterfalls and waterfalls. And thereafter, this waterfalls is being powered with the dua of the angels. The angels are continuously, the words, O Allah, increase, increase, increase. When that waterfall is already from the Zat of Allah, there was no need also for angels to power it. But Allah Ta'ala created the zikr of the malaika, O Allah, carry on, carry on, carry on. Then where our durood comes in the picture? Our one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe every 3-4 days. Meaning that hardly ever gives any push to the waterfall. So then Hazrat says, to understand it, in the time of Harun Rashid, the Khalifa, there was one Bedouin or one villager who got the news that in Baghdad there is drought. Or Baghdad, whoever knows about the Khilafat at that time, this was the capital of the Muslim world. And Baghdad was blessed with the two unique rivers of Tigris, Euphrates. But when you have droughts, droughts got to do with rain, and the rivers also, they drop. But that river is like an ocean. But because the man of the village never understood, so when he heard that the king at the moment is under difficult conditions, there's droughts in Baghdad, so he saw a small pond. So he said that I got water here, and that man needs water. So he took a matka, and he said, let me take it to the king. Now it might have been 1 week, 1 month, whatever, 5 days, 7 days journey, he reaches there. What will be the condition of the water? And when he comes there, the guards at the palace will ask him, what you want? Important gift for the king. Say, what important? He show them water. They'll also tell him, you're a madman. But whatever happened, somehow they managed to tell the Khalifa, this man is nuts. And he wants to give you water. So he also thought that which man will ever bring water? So let's ask him, what's his story? So when he heard the story, normally you will laugh. That droughts mean that the country at the moment is in difficult times. I've got enough water. I'm surrounded by rivers. But because his heart was big, he never mocked the man. All he did is he appreciated, he said, thank you, what lovely, but he's not going to drink that water. But he told the person, take it and water the garden. At least the water was used. And thereafter he said, you made such a journey, so I'll also look after you for the night, 2 nights. And he gave him a lot of hadaya, like a king's job is, you come to me, you will get. And when going, he did one thing, he told his minister, as you walk out, then take him on the route which will pass by one of the rivers. So that when he will see how much water we got, he will understand we appreciated his water, not because we needed his water, but we appreciated his intention. So you say, what a king, isn't it? What a king. But that's the most. If that man lands up with water second time, then the Khalifa is going to tell him, please my friend, I haven't got time to make mehmani second time. We don't need your water. Go. Isn't he saying that? You tell him, I don't need your water. I appreciated your water, but I don't need your water. However, when it comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at his quality of shakur. But when he is being powered with waterfalls and waterfalls of divine, he still says, oh my ummati, I'm waiting for your sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yours is special to me. So much I wait for yours that the angels will bring your name and your father's name. And it won't happen that when one will come and tell you, okay, I appreciate your intention, but I got enough. So I'm waiting for the second. And when it comes, it's not that I need it, but I know you need it. So when it comes, it's like you dial and you made a phone call to me. So immediately I'll phone and reply back to you with dua. And oh Allah, he thought of me, his Nabi. Oh Allah, can't you pay him on my behalf? And Allah Ta'ala sends 10 back. He said, you send 10 to me, you will get definitely 100 back minimum. So what quality of shakur? How he accepts? So that one sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, I'm ready, waiting. Similarly, when one person walks in front of the rawdah, the first feeling when you're walking is, look at that world that's walking. In front of that world, there are great, great abdal who also saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are people who are reading one Quran per day. They coming and saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a man whose eye hasn't touched, seen a girl for 7 days, 10 days, 20 days, 1 year. The wali of the time, he's saying sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everyone is sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now you walk in there. So at that time, when you come in a gathering, and there are top, top ulama there, then you also feel, you're feeling shy. You're going to look at me and say, my friend, this is not for you, this gathering. But when you walk in front of the rawdah, then you are told there's no shyness here. Because this is a Rasul who is accepting. If he sees you standing far, he says, come closer for one nazar to fall on you also. I want you. Come in whatever condition, just come. You might walk in that masjid and somebody else might tell you, dressed like this, and you're going in front of the kings of kings. But if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would speak loudly, he would say that at the moment he is my guest, you don't speak to him also. He also. Shakur, everything appreciated, everything. How many people far from deen, they did one small action. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam comes in his dream and you said, you did for me? Now I must do for you. It's famous, most likely it was Junaid Baghdadi, rahimullah, the reason of his change in his life. It was him or one of the great awliya of the time, was that he was a wrestler and they used to make the announcement, who will wrestle me? And it happened that one day a very thin man came and he was like the wrestler of the king. So you don't lose because the king will get shocked, you lose your job. Your job is to win every match. But a thin man came before wrestling, he just whispered. All he said is, you know what, I got no money. And I am linked to the family of Rasulullah. And if you lose, it's going to be one match, but at least that big reward that was promised, I can get something for my family. So he had to one day bite his pride. He allowed himself to get one knock and he pushed himself on the ground. That's all. So what happened? The king was also shocked, he said. And that man got that gift and he went away. And that night now he sees a dream. That you worried of my family, now I'll worry of you. What? One action. So that is shakur. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam makes a lot of shukr. Whether you praise him, whether you talk of him, whether you think of him. Many people would write ash'ar. So in the beginning of the shair, they would say that, how can I even take the chance to try in my words to praise a man who's beyond praise? Because whatever I say, there will be a problem in the words. Which one shair said, that my words never praise the messenger of Allah. Rather, because of the messenger of Allah being mentioned, my words became praiseworthy. It's a unique. So those people who wanted to praise or wanted to talk or give a bayan on sirat, the first thought will be, where my tongue? But then when they would think that this is a Nabi who is shakur, who appreciates a lot, so he becomes very happy. One time, my ustad Murana Ismail Katrada from Freyhead, he came this day to Johannesburg. So they asked him to give a bayan. So he gave a bayan about Hazrat Murana Masihullah Rahimullah, who was his sheikh. And for many years he spent time with him, so he was very close to him. So he gave a unique bayan of Hazrat Murana Masihullah Rahimullah, his istiqamat, some waqiyah that had happened. It was a long, he spoke a lot about his sheikh. So a while after that, when I had a chance to meet him, he told me that following night he had a dream, in which Hazrat Murana Masihullah Rahimullah came to him and hugged him. In appreciation that you thought of me, I'm very happy. So at that time also I thought, how Allah Tawarukullah created the men of Allah. They in another world already enjoying the bounties of Allah. They are independent of our even mentioning them. But when a man mentions them, how happy they become and how much shukr they make. You thought of me. So regarding this Nabi now, a share has been mentioned. And as we listen to the share, we hear the tarjumah of the share. And we just say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, think my Nabi is shukr. Noor sunnat hai kono makan mein. He says, every way in the world you look, you will find the noor of sunnah. Which previously we did mention, that in the time of Daniel alayhi salam, at that time it was the peak of kufr. And the king of that time was Bukht-e-Nasr. He was responsible for the first break of what is called Sulaiman alayhi salam's empire, Baytul Maqdis. Later on it was rebuilt, but it could never reach what Sulaiman alayhi salam had built. And the amount of ulama that he had killed, scriptures were all gone. Allah Tabarakallah then on the tongue of Uzair alayhi salam had the whole Torah rewritten. Otherwise there was no Torah. There was no men. Ulama were either killed or they were taken slave. He left not one sign in the lands of Sham of a deen. As though there was never a deen yet. So this was the peak of kufr. Like how you can say the world of kufr landed on the center of Islam, and when they went out, there was no Islam left. So Allah Tabarakala saved. It's not going to happen today. But if they could, Makkah, Mukarramah, Medina, Munawwara will never be there standing. It will be gone, but Allah Tabarakala protected it. So the most that they can do is they can make their buildings around it. They can make a place of entertainment. They can try and attract people away from the Kaaba. But can they destroy it? They'll never manage to destroy it. So they'll take second step to try and decorate it so much that you keep people away from it. But he, Bukht-e Nasr, destroyed what was called the Islam of that era. Finished. So when he was able to destroy it completely, you can understand kufr was on its peak. Thus Bukht-e Nasr has a dream. In the dream he sees a huge statue like. And the statue is made of different metals. And thereafter looking at the beauty of the statue going up, going up, going up, very high. Then he sees from on top one rock is falling. And as the rock hits, then he sees like the statue not only crumbling like the 911, but how 911, it actually implodes like. And everything becomes like dust. It's not just rocks falling, the thing is actually becoming dust. And point after point, gold is melting, silver is breaking. Every metal that the statue was made of is giving in. And coming, coming, coming until it falls. And because it's dust, when it hits the ground, it falls and the rock falls on top. And then there's a hard bang and he sees dust flying all over. Everywhere the dust is moving in the east, the dust is in the west, everywhere there's dust. And thereafter he wakes up. So it created such a feeling in him of fear that this is something, this dream. So the next day he asked the people whose jobs were to tell the future, to look at the stars. And they were known as interpreters of dreams. So he says, I had a unique dream last night, very, very scared. And I need an interpretation. So obviously they'll ask him, what's the dream? So we can interpret. But because he wanted to make sure they're not lying, otherwise you tell someone a dream, what's interpretation? He gave any interpretation. So to make sure they're not lying, he said, I'm not going to tell you my dream. If you are really truthful, you must know my dream. And you must give me the interpretation. So they looked shocked. So he was a king and he was a mad king. So he became angry and he said, so many years I'm feeding you for what? So I give you within 3 days to come back with my dream. If you don't come with my dream, you're next. I will kill all of you. So these people now are going to go to the shayateen to get help. Like, what is the king's dream? At that time, Daniel alayhi salam is in prison. And Allah Tabarakala reveals to him that this is your time now to come out. So say to the guard at the prison that the king had a dream, and I am the only man on the entire earth who knows the dream, who knows the interpretation. So the guard immediately rushes. It's a big thing. The king says, bring the man. He is brought. When Daniel alayhi salam enters, the normal law is to make sajda. Everyone falls in sajda, but he remains standing. So the people tell him, make sajda, otherwise you will be killed. This is the law of the parlor. So he's a Nabi, and Nabi is not scared of anyone. So he says that if I make sajda, if you're going to force me to make sajda, it's not going to be good for me also, it's not going to be good for you also. And if you forgive me from the act of making sajda, it will be good for me, it will be good for you also. So the way he said the sentence, the king also looked up and said, what do you mean? So he said, it's very simple. If you're going to force me to make sajda, I'm not going to make the sajda. If I make the sajda, I'll lose my deen. I lose my deen, I lose my ilm. I lose my ilm, how am I going to tell you what you want to know? And if I don't make the sajda, then you're going to kill me. And if you kill me on the surface of the earth besides me, no one knows your dream. You're still not going to find out your dream. So if you're going to force the issue, it's not good for me, also not good for you. And if you don't force the issue, then I'm going to just walk up to you, say, how are you? I'm going to sit next to you, I'm going to tell you your dream, you're going to get very happy, I'm going to be happy. So the king was so amazed because with so much of boldness he spoke, he said, I have never heard wisdom like this, you come and sit right here. So Daniel alayhi salam comes, now he speaks. He explains the entire dream. He tells the king what you saw in your dream. And even what the king couldn't remember, he adds. The king is shaking his head, yes, yes, I saw it like this, I saw it. He explains every metal, the different metals, one on top of the other. and how the rock came. So now the king is thrilled. So he says, what's the interpretation of it? So he says the interpretation is that the entire statue that you saw, that was the world of kufr and all its powers. And a time will come when kufr will reach its peak, which is now your time. It has reached its peak. That there is no deen left. No deen. And it will happen again and again and again. That kufr will reach its peak, standing up high and looking in the world. Who is there? Hi. So he says, the time will come when kufr will reach even further than where you are gone. Speak. But it will not be able to take over. Why? Because as kufr is on that peak, Allah tabarak ta'ala will make a decision. And when that decision is made, one noor, a brilliant noor, which is known as the noor of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that will be sent. And as it will be sent, it will fall on the world of kufr. There will be a Persian empire of shirk and kufriyat. There will be a Roman empire. There will be the Egyptian empire. There will be empires and empires of kufr. Which comes that before the birth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah tabarak ta'ala looked on the entire earth. And the deen of not a person pleased Allah except a small group of Christians who were on the faith of Isa. Small group. Everyone was in dalala. And the land where he was going to be sent, Arabia, that was called Jahala. Darkness upon darkness. Babies were being killed just because they were girls. And mothers were being inherited. There was no law, there was no order, there was nothing. Says that noor will be sent. And when that noor comes, it will fall on the world of kufr. And it will bang it so hard that kufr will then give in completely. And the entire empire of kufr will come crashing to the ground. There'll be no Persian, there'll be no Roman, everything will bang. And when it bangs, then the dust from the rock of Nubuwwah, after falling, will not remain in one area, but it will fly to all the four corners of the world. And dust is that thing that later on, if the armies of the world of kufr are sent to go and pick it up, to find Islam in that country and destroy it, find Islam in that country, it will be like dust. You will be unable to pick up each one. You will gather here, suddenly you will realize more is that side. You will go looking there, you will find more is that side. This dust will move all over. This is Noor as Sunnat. And wherever you go, you will find deen. How did that deen happen? It is the noor of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hit. Suddenly Allah Pak puts a thought in someone's heart. He's sitting in China. He had no bayan. He never see on the internet. He never read a kitab. He just one day had a dream. He woke up, he told his wife, you know what? Something's wrong. We're not doing right. He said, what do you mean? He said, I'm going to look. Goes out. He'll meet one man, meet another man, meet another man. How many examples where a non-Muslim accepts Islam on the hands of a Muslim and thereafter tells the Muslim that you got no deen in your life. So what made him accept Islam? It wasn't the deen of that man. It was that one thought which came into his heart through the medium of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah sent it, and through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah directed it. And it hits. And suddenly he's putting up a madrasa. You go there, you see a unique madrasa. You say, who's putting it up? You say, this man accepted Islam 3 years ago. And all the people who are Muslims in that area, you ask them, where's your Islam? They got no Islam. They say, Noor as Sunnat. And as that Sunnat will move, and it carries on moving, kufr will fall on one land, put off the light of Sunnaya, suddenly another land will become one. This land will start shining, that land will start shining. Had there been no Noor of Sunnat, then the world would have been in darkness. Because we all know who is really doing Dawat of Islam. None of us. If Dawat is taking place on a big scale today, it's towards the Muslims. Towards the non-Muslims. So it's supposed to mean Christianity with so much money is supposed to be increasing every day. or atheism supposed to be increasing, because every university in the world supports atheism, or Hinduism, or Shiism, Qadianism, because they got the money of the world. One group that hasn't got any money, any support, any channel, any voice, any talk, is the group which is on the truth. There is no da'wah, there is no call, there is no movement, there is no effort. And rather, when you look at a Muslim businessman and a non-Muslim businessman, the man will say, I'd rather go to the non-Muslim businessman. At least he'll look after his promise. The Muslim guy does me down. So there's no akhlaq in business. There's nothing which is sufficient to attract people to Islam. But when you look at figures, figures are so open today that even the non-Muslims are now writing that in our country, Islam is spreading the fastest. They'll never admit it. But today they are being forced. What's making it happen? When you ask every non-Muslim, you get amazed what made him accept Islam. He also doesn't really know. It was a thought that came in his heart. The noor of sunnah kono makan. Everywhere, just moving. And it will carry on. Kya tajalli thi tere bayan mein. That, O Allah's messenger, in your talks, what power there was. And in the silence of Rasulullah, what power there is. One reason which we mentioned previously, what is the reason for going to Medina Munawwara? If it is to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could be done from here also. And the angel takes it immediately. And thereafter it's given and jawab comes, reply comes immediately. What was the reason for Allah's messenger to, like in an angry mood, say you must make sure you land up in front of me? Otherwise Allah's messenger was so merciful. And if he knew my ummati has to take a long journey from Makkah Mukarrama all the way to Medina Munawwara, not easy, and in the past so much of danger, then he will say, oh my ummati, don't take the trouble for me. He was a merciful Nabi. He worried of every taklif on every ummati. But still he said, the man who comes to the house of Allah and he doesn't land up here, he has shown no interest in me. So you must come here. What was the reason he made that must? Which ulama say that close to wujub, it is the highest of the mustahabbat, close to wujub, that when you at least once, or if you have the ability to land up in Medina Munawwara, and if you land up in Makkah Mukarrama and you got the ability, then you must go to Medina Munawwara. If not on every journey, then at least once. He say the highest mustahabbat, close to wajib, you must land up there. What's the reason that you must land up? What you going to get? So previously we explained this here, that when a father wants to give out his inheritance, then he won't be happy that his son is phoning him from South Africa, daddy, how are you? How is my son? Okay, everything. That he'll talk normal. But when the father got something to give, then he'll say, my son, you make sure you hear in 2 months time. You make sure. Son say, daddy, it's so expensive. He say, forget all the money in the world, come here. Because he knows what I am going to give you is worth all that and much more. Something you have to get when you land up in front of the Rasul of Allah. So what is that? That when Nabi Abbas sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was alive, his bayan with his tongue would take place, and nazar with his eyes would hit, and his heart would pump with dua and power. And that would hit that sahabi, and that man who was a man of kufr, in 1 second was a transformed man. An animal would become an angel. 1 second. He was blessed with a tongue, which would say to a man, La taghdab, don't become angry. La taghdab, don't become angry. La taghdab, don't be. 3 sentences, that man will go away in the rest of his life, he'll never become angry. What a power it was. The eye, the tongue, and that heart pumped. The sahabi came and said, I want to make zina. All he did, he put his hand here. He said, would you like someone to make zina with your sister, with your mother? He said, no. This is somebody else's sister. Go. He says, after that, my heart became so clean that the thought of zina was. What power there was in that. But then he says that whoever will visit me after my death, it's as though he visited me while I'm alive. Meaning that power which I would give out while I was alive, I'm still able to give out that power. Now the tongue is closed. Now while in the qabr, the heart of Rasulullah pumps. Some ulama have written, like it comes in Nurul Ida, That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's eye also falls on that person. His nazar. And that nazar will be obviously a barzakhi nazar. That he will look at that ummati. But from his qabr where he is buried in, that heart which was pumping on that sahabi, that heart pumps with the man who presents himself in front. And it pumps for the rest of the world also, and that is that noor as sunnah moving. But that man who comes in front will be a world of difference from the man who's far. One pump. And that one pump can change an entire man's life. That is that noor as sunnah. So what tajalli there was when you spoke, and what tajalli there is in your silence also. Just that silence. And that heart of ruhaniyat pumping. And the entire world is drinking from that power. Everyone's iman is getting stronger. One person says, I want to read the Hajj today. Another person says, I want to read Nafal Salah. You'll go, you'll see one auntie. She got no scarf also. She's in the business also. But when Salah comes, she'll put on a scarf like a pious Rabia Basriya. She'll say, Allahu Akbar, and you look. And you'll wonder that she's reading Nawas. But when she makes her sajda also, and she takes out a kitab, what is making her? She got the bold and beautiful to keep her company. But she's reading a longer salah than the pious auntie. So that noor as it moves, it hits on different individuals in different ways. One person is fasting. One person is giving charity. One person is reading kitab. Everyone thinks, you know, me, I'm pious. The other one, look at him. But he's also getting his share of the spice of the noor of sunnah. And he also got some action he just wants to do. Nobody else knows he's giving the charity, he's doing that. So what the jalli there is from that mirror as it's going in the world. Abd Sultan Kare Ek Safme. He says, I found that in one line, if there's a king also, then next to the king is the slave of the king. But when the time of Allahu Akbar comes, then the king forgets I'm the king, I must be in front and my slave must be in the back. At that time the king also says, straighten yourself. Stand next to me. In line. And if there's a small gap, then one small boy from behind will push in also and the king is standing, he can't stand properly. But the king would say, one word, I'm the king, give me place. In one saf. He says, what power was it of your deen that could bring so much of humility to the world that the king forgets he's a king at that moment and he stands with his slave? Kya asarta risalat kishane. That in the power of risalat, what power there was. Fark kale wo ghore ka tune kis tarah se mitaya jahame. That before you came, the world had made a difference between white and black, between the colors of skin. Similarly, the world had understood daughters means bad luck. Umm Ayman radiallahu anha, we read yesterday, she was running in the market. This was now before Nubuwat even starts. A woman sees her and says, what's happening? So she says, Muhammad, at that time it was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has been blessed with his fourth daughter. Muhammad has been blessed with his fourth daughter. So I am running to give him the news. So happy. So that woman says, what do you mean fourth daughter? Because as it is, they never like daughters. And now you're saying fourth daughter? You say, hey, please. So you say, what? You think he's going to get happy? Because no sons. So she says, I remember the time when I took the first basharat, glad tidings of the first daughter, Zainab radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha gave birth. It was an era where the first child, if it was a daughter, the face would become black. So I never know, must I go and will he become angry? She says, I even had the fear that with the daughter, he'll put me in the grave also. And as I came there in my fear, he asked me that what has happened. And in fear I said that she has given birth to a daughter. His face brimmed with joy. And he goes to the mother and he says, congratulations, a daughter. She says, in that one sentence he brought an end to the entire environment of the hatred of daughters. So what was a deen? Now we may not understand, we never saw the time, but today no one is killing daughters. A revolution of the love of daughters in the amal of one man. How he changed it. He changed the hearts, the minds of men. That he mentioned one sentence. That Mubarak for that woman whose first child is a daughter. The whole world said, "Ish, first child a daughter." One sentence. Full of barakat is that woman who starts with a daughter before a son. In that one sentence, the whole world had to change their understanding. Now when a daughter would come, even if a man is not happy, he can't say anything. So people tell him, "You don't believe in sunnah." Suddenly he's quiet. No, happy, very happy. How he changed. So what a fark he made. Kis tarah se mitaya jahame. The hatred for the black, the preference of the white, he broke it. Entire broke. To such an extent that you will come in the time of a khalifa. And the khalifa lands up on the plains of Makkah Mukarramah. And the sons of the khalifa are walking with him. And they hear an announcement being made that in the days of Hajj, besides so and so person, no one is allowed to give fatwa. No one. So the Khalifa's sons think, "Ech, this must be some big mufti. Big shot." Just imagine in the whole plains of Hajj, one man only can give fatwa. And it's made everywhere. Anyone wants, go there. So then they land up to a place where they see one black man sitting. And not only black, but very ugly also in look. And when the Khalifa's sons look at him, they also immediately look at. And then they see everyone sitting around him, that the Khalifa goes and sits also with Adab. So they shocked and they said, "Who's this man here?" He says, "This is the man. Besides him, no one can give fatwa." He says, "This is Islam." That Islam could make a man of that figure, that color, become the man of the time. Who am I speaking about? Ata bin Abi Rabah, the student of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu. Slave. He becomes the boss. But only Islam could do it. Only Islam. You go to a man place, and just because of ilm, a man could be handsome, a man could not be handsome. A man could be short, a man could be tall. He's a man of knowledge, you will see the whole masjid will say, "Hazrat, take him." What Islam did. A small boy can be made the imam of the qawm. Islam. Taraweeh time comes, you say, "Where's the hafiz?" You see one young boy walking, everyone says, "Allahu Akbar," behind the boy. The boy is reading 5 minutes, they must make sabr. Even if he's reading slowly, the old mutawallis are angry. But they can't talk, they can talk after salah, but in salah they must make sabr. What Islam did, it change the entire, that no one is the boss, who Islam makes a boss, he's the boss. Yeta teri ghulami ka sadaqa shan sultaniyat. Kya hai shatarba mein?
Shutar. Shutar.
Wo kya hai shutar?
Oont ko chalane wala. Oont ko chalane.
Oh, those people who used to pull camels, and now they became kings also. But when you landed up in Makkah Mukarrama, Medina Munawwara, then those people were not people who were governors. This is one point which you mentioned previously. That see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never teach everything to the Sahaba. Which they will say, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu an example. On Tabi he says, "I sat in the company of Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu. And he had days for different subjects. A day for Arabic poetry, a day for history, a day for this, a day for that, a day for that." And he would be asked such questions that he could never have studied those answers because there was no libraries of inland London in front of him. There was no internet, there was no Google. And also he never learned these answers from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But this Tabi says whatever question was posed to him, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhu would give a huge answer. So you wonder where he learned that encyclopedia of answers. And if you had to ask him, he'll say, "One day Allah's messenger smiled at me, hugged me. And he said, 'Allah give you ilm.' The tongue spoke, the heart moved, the eye hit, suddenly he became an encyclopedia. Was known as the ocean of knowledge." That was that jal. But he just opened up one outlet. And Allah Tabarakala sent the ilm because of me into him. And suddenly Abdullah bin Abbas finds whatever he's being asked, he's getting answers. You get Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu. Although he was a unique general, before accepting Islam, he never won the war. But Uhud, he was on the verge of winning. In the ending, they pulled back. They lost it in the ending. They never won it. After how many times he tried, he never managed to break through Medina, although Medina was so weak. But once he becomes the sword of the Rasul of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, suddenly no army in the world can keep one Khalid back. He's breaking through everything. And it becomes famous, any army that got a man called Khalid, invincible. What made him that Khalid? And then you get a man like Umar radiallahu anhu, who says, there was a time looking after the animals, my father would shout me and say, you can't do anything right. And suddenly that Umar is writing the principles to govern the entire world. Where he learned it? So that was that Shan-e Risalat. One tajalli opened up one outlet. Oh Allah, ilm. Oh Allah, the power of governing. Oh Allah, the power of war. Oh Allah, this power. And suddenly you had shepherds, people riding camels, people who only had horses and poetry, and suddenly they are the bosses of the entire world. What was that power? And until the day of Qiyamah, that power continues. You'll find ilm can do unique things. Power can do unique things. That shan of Risalat after the death of Rasulullah continued. A Muhammad bin Qasim was created. A Salahuddin Ayyubi was created. In our times, Mujahideen of what caliber have been created? Ulama of what caliber were created? There was Malik bin Anas. There was Abu Hanifa Nu'man. There was Shafi'i Rahimullah. There was Ahmad ibn Hanbal. Then there was a Bukhari. There was a Muslim. And each one you look at, you say, wow, what a man. And what made that man? One shan of Risalat. One heart pumping and the noor of Sunnah moving. And Allah Ta'ala taking out what flowers. So in this few lines, at least we learn one thing, that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam makes a lot of shukr. And he's waiting for us to make a contact. Enjoy that he's shakur. He's not going to look at me, my face, and say, you coming with this face in front of me. He will say, oh my servant, come, I'll hug you. I'll make dua for you. Maybe my dua will change you. But come, land up in front of me. Come to my house, come in front of me. Come and get my nazar, get my dua. Send your salawat from far, I'll appreciate it. You make the journey to me, I'll appreciate it even more. Spend the 10,000, 20,000, go for that umrah. And go for that ziyarah, only on this, oh Allah's messenger. I brought myself, which is practically nothing. I never come to show off that I'm your special ummati. Rather, I came to plea that when you made so many people in the world, make me also. And like this, a person who lands up, Allah Tabarak Tala can do unique things. Allah Tabarak Tala grant us all. Adhan went in that. Okay, go now.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. This is one announcement. Inshallah, we've got some of the posters for the Istai Jalsa. So brothers can put it up in the areas. Those who can make photocopies, so that it will make it easier for us. So in the areas, they can take few and then make photocopies. It's also on the website, so you can take it out from the website and make your own copies, and then inshallah you can spread it in our areas. So this is one thing. And then secondly, for the Islah Jalsa, any brothers who can assist and help us in any way, whether it's physically also, those brothers, those areas want to take off some responsibilities, maybe one meal, they'll serve or they'll do everything. Those who want to sponsor, or whatever way, the humble request is to still inform us. Tell us, inshallah, whatever way they can help and assist us. Those who want the posters now, inshallah, they can come down. Assalamu alaikum.